Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, welcome to Talking Transfers from the 90 Min Podcast Network. I'm Scott Saunders, joined by 90 Min's transfer correspondent, Graham Bailey, and 90 Min head of UK content, Toby Cudworth, the week after the transfer window has closed for the summer of 2022. It's been a nice time to put the feet up a little bit for a few days, I guess, at least. Graham, how has it been since the closure of the transfer window for you? How does it work when everything closes and we have a few months till the next one?
Yeah, not really. I was doing, obviously, the Chelsea contract signing on Friday with Reece James, etc. Just so literally straight back at it. I had Sunday off this week, which wasn't great. I ended up doing DIY all day, so I'd rather be back talking transfers.
What did you put up?
We converted our playroom into a TV room where I watched Middlesbrough's Whitties weird derby success last night. So very happy indeed today watching that win in my new TV room.
Wins for Borough, wins for Man United, loss for West Ham at Chelsea, Toby, in weird circumstances.
Yeah, do we call that a win for referees or poor referees? We shouldn't have lost the game anyway. And Chelsea were absolutely awful for the first hour. I think we've got them on the agenda today, but West Ham were in that kind of mode where they didn't actually take the game to Chelsea until an hour had gone. And as soon as they did, scored a goal, but then contrived to concede two and then have a goal chalked off for reasons we won't get into.
Yeah, that VAR debate is it's done to death. Transfers are also done to death as well, but you might be thinking, why are these guys back? The transfer window just closed. We're not going to have any transfers until January. But it never stops, does it? We'll maybe take a different direction over the next few weeks. We'll look back at things that maybe haven't happened yet, things that could happen in January or next summer. We'll talk players who could be on the agenda and dominating the headlines over the next few weeks and months.
Do we include
as well.
Managers in this transfer front, Scott? Because managers
well,
are almost
it was in it. My it is in my opening spiel that I've since deleted.
Sorry, Scott. I was,
so we can if you want,
because the manager Ariel Merigoy is something that we've had a good record with and 90 Min last 12 months. Obviously, we didn't think one would have fallen by the wayside just yet. Obviously, Scott has. But when Toby was talking Chelsea, there had been murmurs about two.
Well, you think Chelsea are coming third in the league still, don't you?
I think they've got the third best squad, yeah, and I do think they will. I like Thomas Tuchel, but I think, you know, we've got to remember Todd Burley here is just taking over the club. We've been a big fan of his. He's created a lot of content for us in the last few weeks. But, you know, will at what point does he think he wants his own man in? And I'm sure Thomas Tuchel is thinking that the pressure will be on. Remember, he is not Todd Burley's man. As much as they are best buddies in getting on, it's a consideration.
The only thing is, right, I look at the Tuchel situation and I look at the business Chelsea have done in the transfer. They have 20 central defenders. All they sign is defenders. All they try and sign is defenders. How many managers play back fives?
And that was on Tuchel's behest, as we understand it. So, yeah, Todd Burley's going to say, well, he didn't get.
Is it Diego Simeone's time to turn up at Chelsea?
Oh, that'll be it. That won't be the last time we hear his name, is it? And I love. I'm not doing Thomas Tuchel down. Whether it's this year, next year, the year after, but when Todd Burley does come to choose Chelsea's next manager, I think it's going to be all sorts of fun. His advisor will be saying, you can't go off him. Why not? It's going to be great.
Chelsea have strengthened so much in defence because I think that says a lot about Thomas Tuchel's lack of faith in their midfield, which is still pretty poor, if you ask me.
This weekend where he was shouting at Conor Gallagher?
Yes, or was it? Like, yeah. Yeah, it was. I think everybody in that midfield is replaceable, maybe minus Kovacic. If Kovacic was fit, he would probably be a guaranteed starter. But other than that, I think Tuchel doesn't fancy any of them. And the easy option this year was to bulk out defence to kind of cover it.
You can see the plan, TC, where we did know that a bit of a plan for Chelsea was to move Jorginho to Juventus. Because him and Kante are out of contract next summer. They're not going to hand deals to both of them, if either. So you could see why that plan was there. Let's move Jorginho on, let's bring another one in. Obviously, Arthur went later on, but Rabiot stayed, which I think was the main obstacle to Jorginho going. So, yeah, more good player for Man United.
Oh, what a shame.
Yeah, so it's a really interesting one. You can see, but they just had... They didn't need major surgery, but they did need every position covering, didn't they, Chelsea? So it was tough. But, yeah, the midfield didn't get done and the right wing didn't get done, as we'll talk about. But, yeah, Chelsea is still so interesting, aren't they, Toby? But yeah, I can see why they did the defence, though, because last year, as we said, when they lost James and Chilwell, the whole season went to pot, and they were still in contention for the title in December. They were well in contention.
Yeah, things do seem a bit different. I have my doubts about Chelsea. I know that other people might as well. Sometimes Chelsea fans shout at me for having these doubts about them, but we'll see. On the agenda today, Chelsea were going to be in the middle of the agenda, but since we're talking about them, I'll move it around because, as you mentioned, Graham, last week did a piece on Reece James and Mason Mount, new deals. The Reece James deal has since been confirmed. Long-term, good business for Chelsea. I know that myself, I feel like he's England's best right-back. I don't know whether that debate...
I think he's the best right-back in the world.
You can't go far wrong, to be honest with that.
Yeah.
If you disagree, let us know.
Unfortunately for Trent. And to be fair, Gareth Southgate, I'm not his biggest fan. As you know, as a manager, legendary player, as we can see in the background, player I love. But to be fair to Gareth, he saw this from the outset. He was getting some major stick, wasn't he? Like 2 years ago about Trent and stuff. But he's always preferred Reece James. So fair play to Gareth. He spotted this early.
And like you say, Reece James has been tied down. So how long has this one been in the works, Graham? This is smart, efficient, good, strong business from Chelsea. Because as you say, he's one of, if not the best in his position in the world.
Yeah, him and Mason Mount, it was one of the first things on the agenda for Todd Boehly. They're already talking about it. And they just said to the pair of them, listen, as soon as the window shuts, we'll sort this out. And yeah, literally, there wasn't much talking to be done with Reece James. 5+1, 6-year deal. Mason Mount's deal will be very similar when you stand it, starting around £250,000 a week. But by the time it gets to the end, it'll be well over 350, even 400. So Mason Mount should follow very soon. And yeah, they're tying down the big talents. It's something they're recognising again. And so, yeah, fair play to Chelsea. And you know, everyone says, oh, it's really easy to do this. Well, it's not, you know. Ask our friend Harry and Sacco. That's not done yet.
Good business for Chelsea, Toby. Obviously, Graham's mentioned Mason Mount there. We know how important homegrown talent is nowadays. Chelsea fans quite frustrated that they've actually let go a lot of homegrown talent over the last few years. But these two are mainstays in this squad.
I think the one thing with Mason Mount is that he needs to now have a defined position. When I was talking about Chelsea 5 minutes ago, I don't include Mount in that midfield conversation because he's been playing further forward, but I guess he's going to come back into that kind of midfield three, and that's probably his best role. And he is going to be fundamental for Chelsea going forward. I think he has got everything, along with Reece James, who I think probably is the best right-back in the world, isn't he? I'm sitting here for the last 30 seconds trying to think of someone better.
If you're listening to this and you disagree, let us know at @_ScottSaunders, @GrahamBoehly, or @Toby_Cudworth. And don't torrent abuse. But, you know, I realise these debates are quite heated quite often. I know that the Trent Alexander Arnold...
None of us are Chelsea fans. We have no affiliation to Chelsea, do we at all? So for us to say that, it's like, well... It's
any shouts for Aaron Wan-Bissaka?
I was going to throw Dallo in there, you know?
Yeah, he's been all right last few weeks. But yes, Mount to follow as we expect. And as Graham has just mentioned there, Chelsea have some business to take care of, a bit of restructuring to do and, you know, solidifying, because they've done a lot of business this year. things are all a bit up in the air. So it's about time now that they start planning for the future properly and getting the foundations in place. What about the goalkeeper position, Graham? Because Mendy is not, he's been a little bit shaky of late and was a little bit lucky against West Ham. He's let some mistakes go by in the last few months as well. I've even seen Chelsea fans say Kepa deserves a run.
Yeah, I don't agree with that necessarily, but Mendy, you know, he was lucky at the weekend, but yeah, he, some say he was lucky. I thought he did his job great. He won that free kick. So I thought he did his job brilliant. Toby
is not amused if you're listening.
Mendy's just gone on Toby's list massively, as well as the VAR man. Yeah, so he signed his deal when he first came in the club, and there's been talks going on all year from what we believe, but not the same progress as what we've seen with Reece James and Mason Mount. And it wasn't that long ago where there was people pushing Mendy forward for the Ballon d'Or. I remember in conversations. So I think on the back of that, his agents were clever, saying, well, if people think he's the best keeper in the world, he should be getting a new deal. That hasn't come to pass. And now, you know, it's like a role, you know, it's like a roller coaster, isn't it? The form of people and people's attitudes to people, to different positions. And yeah, he's doesn't seem flavour of the month with some at Chelsea. So yeah, the deal is on the table still, the talking. I expect them to do an extension with him, but I'm not sure it'll be done this year.
See how that plays out.
He was at fault. Not at fault for the first goal for West Ham, but he should have done better. The thing he's proved susceptible to is crosses, which is weird for someone who's 6'3", 6'4". He's a bit of a flapper. And he should have done a hell of a lot better in fisting the header away from goal, which led to West Ham's opener. And he got extremely lucky with the foul, which I'm not going to go into. And he made that mistake against Leeds. Don't forget where he gifted a goal.
He also made one in the back end of last season as well, didn't he?
And he does have two, you know, guys. He's got 2 years left on his current deal, we believe. And the thing is, what we've got to remember, he came in from, was it Rennes that he came in at the time?
Yeah.
And he came in almost as number two. So in terms of salary structure, he's well down, well down the pecking order. Even in Premier League terms, you know, I think Dean Henderson's probably on twice the money that he is. So he will be looking at it and thinking he is due an uptake. And on those levels, he probably is.
Do you know the thing I forget about Mendy as well? Is how old he is and how much of a late bloomer he was getting to the top level. He's already 30, and I'm not saying that Chelsea won't reward him with a long-term deal because of that, but I always think
keep
in my mind...
Keep him a bit more, though, don't you? Could they think, Toby, you could hand him a five-year deal and still think he's top level, top class at 35? It's not as big an issue, is it, as centre-forwards, I guess?
No, but I don't think that he's necessarily that top level that Chelsea would want in a goalkeeper. So they might keep him for another 2 years, but age 32, would there be another keeper who's probably got more? Salina, for example, who's coming in. He's tipped out a big future.
And let's not forget the Kepa as well, guys, who I haven't looked into his contract situation, but is he still a world record goalkeeper?
To the best of my knowledge,
I think. And he's got a contract to go with it. So ideally, Chelsea would probably love to swap these two contracts over. They're paying the wrong man the most money in goal. But hence why they haven't been able to get rid of Kepa is because this huge contract he's on.
Toby, you mentioned there, and this is something that always makes me laugh, top. How many tops would you put before describing Mendy?
Probably just one.
How many tops is top?
So a team who wants to compete for the Champions League and for league honours, I would put three tops in that before you say they're at sufficient level.
Where was he, guys, out of interest in Welcome to World Class, Mendy?
He was in there, I think.
He was.
He was fourth or fifth, I think.
In the world.
Based on his performance.
Yeah. So he probably is due a win. You can probably see where he's coming from.
Yeah.
As a player.
Welcome to World Class. I was thinking about that this morning, actually. That's a series where we try and decipher who the world-class players are in the world. The top players.
It should be changed to top player. I think it needs changing.
I'm thinking totally. there's another series to be done there. We're going to do it at the end of this season. So keep an eye out for that. Maybe a few months down the line. But Chelsea have some business to do. Contracts to tie up. new players to sign.
We talked about Thomas, and Thomas Tuchel's one of those as well. We'll come back on that. I think there's stuff bubbling up on Tuchel's contract as well. So that's something we'll be tackling in the next few months.
I know that was my tip, that I didn't think all would go well at Chelsea, and some managerial change would happen at some point this season. Although it would seem a bit weird of Chelsea to sign all Tuchel's players, all defenders, pretty much, and then sack him off. Anyway, let's move on, because we're going to keep these shows a little bit more succinct and a little bit shorter over the next few weeks. Let's talk Gavi, Graham, because he is a Barcelona player who has been exposed to the first team at a very young age, very highly rated alongside Pedri. I'm not sure who do you which one of the two do you think is the higher ceiling?
Gavi for me.
Really?
Yeah. Interesting. I think they're, to be fair, they're not literally the new Xavi Iniesta, but who always caused the argument, didn't they? You're either an Iniesta man or a Xavi man. I think he still will do the same. And as we said on the show before, it beggars belief. And this is the story we're going to talk about. The way Barcelona have gone after Bernardo Silva, the way they're talking Frankie de Jong, etc., and they signed Kessie as well and stuff. Pedri and Gavi should be looking after them two should be the priority of this football club. They could be the heart of this club for years to come. And Pedri has signed his new deal, long-term £1 billion buyout. And yeah, the story we're talking about is Gavi still hasn't signed his new long-term deal. He turned 18 at the start of August, August 5th. Mm-hmm. And we did a story, I think it was about April, Easter time, that Premier League clubs were sniffing around him. And at that time, Gavi's representatives made it clear, you know, thanks to the interest, he's staying at Barca, has agreed, he's not looking to move. Things have changed a little bit. Over the course of this summer, Gavi, he's become a bit unsettled. He hasn't been happy with some of the things he's seen, especially the Bernardo Silva links he hasn't been happy with. And as it stands, this deal isn't signed yet. Ivan de la Peña, remember him? Fantastic former midfielder. He's his agent. And there has been talks going on with clubs on the outside. Our understanding, Manchester City, Manchester United, Chelsea, Liverpool have all held conversations with intermediaries to gauge the situation, as you would expect. You'd want your club to be doing that. Bayern Munich as well, which has been publicised, but also Paris Saint-Germain, Juventus. Basically, all making it known, saying, listen, if Gavi does want to change the scenery when he's only 18, you're more than welcome to come here. But the interesting point with Gavi is he's out of contract in less than 12 months. So Barcelona, really, it's just, they've got a few months now to get this going. They're still confident he'll stay. I think he'll stay. But they're getting themselves into a saga here they didn't need to. You know, Gavi's seen all these deals go to Lewandowski, Dembele, Rafinha. You know, Gavi should have been the first one on this list to get done. But does this surprise us, guys, in any way, shape or form with Barcelona? No. Yeah, although they are confident, there's a little bit of worry in the background there, and I think they've got every right to be, because this deal should have been done when he turned 18, which over a month ago now.
Yeah, obviously we know that Frankie de Jong, we're not going to talk about him in too much depth today, but he's been put in place in the Barcelona midfield. I think the favoured trio started in their last game as well. I did check it. I think it was Busquets, Pedri and Gavi. With De Jong on the bench. But as you say there, Graham, not all tied up yet. Toby, and come back to you on the Pedri-Gavi thing. Who's your...
Pedri for me, but I'm basing that solely on that year where he was incredible, played every game under the sun for Barcelona and Spain. And then because of that year, had injuries last year. And I think his stock has dropped in people's minds, or people are forgetting how outstanding he was in that year. But as Graham says, I think Barcelona have got the potential here to have two players who could get to Xavi and Iniesta levels. Their priority should be tying both down. As Graham said, Pedri's done. Gavi should be the next one. But for me, Pedri is the hottest young midfielder in world football. And he'll prove it again this season.
No Jude Bellingham, Toby?
I'd probably say.
Did you not see Riley McCree's performance for Middlesbrough last night?
I'm afraid I missed it, mate. I left that one to you. And Jude Bellingham, I would say yes if he wasn't playing in the Bundesliga. Mm-hmm.
We'll see. He'll be playing Champions League, though, as will Barcelona. We talked about Frankie de Jong there. He's obviously down the pecking order, Barcelona have signed Frank Kessié as well. They have Busquets, they have Pedri, they have those options in central midfield. And Graham, you talked about Bernardo Silva, and we reported on Barcelona's interest in him and Man City's resistance to selling him throughout the summer. Obviously, Frankie de Jong's looking at that as well and thinking, that's another obstacle in my way because he's not in the first choice three. I kind of understand this in a way from Barcelona if they want somebody like Bernardo Silva and his qualities. Gavi is still 18. Can you play an 18-year-old every single week and make him first choice at that age? Or is that the right way to go about it? Does he need to be brought in and out a little bit? What's the latest on Bernardo, Graham? Because as we understand it, I'm guessing that this one isn't going away, is it?
No, it really isn't. And our understanding is that Bernardo's made it clear to City that he does want to join Barcelona next summer. Barcelona still want him. It hasn't gone down very well this with City at all, you know. They were never going to let him go. But Silva's agents, Barcelona, they did try their best in this window. Heaven knows how they would have financed it. You know, beans in the ground, beanstalks and stuff from Laporta probably. But it's fascinating, this. And yeah, I know from inside City, they're not happy with this. Because, you know, it's been the one real negative. You know, it's strange to say, isn't it? Even though they've lost Sterling this window, they've lost Gabriel Jesus. This Silva one, even though he stayed, this was a real negative in this window for them. It was a real outlier, I thought. It was really unusual. But then it did emphasise how strong City are. And I think they've made it clear, you know, they probably won't stand in his way because they won't put up with this sort of behaviour, and they know they can bring in someone just as good. And it's a really interesting one. Yeah, but I think in terms of PR, Bernardo's people won't let this lie, and we'll probably hear quite regularly that he's heading for Catalonia until he does head there next summer. I wouldn't rule out them trying in January, Scott.
Yeah. After the World Cup as well.
Yeah.
Barcelona.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Able to pull things off that most didn't think were possible. Do you know, I look at Lionel Messi at PSG and I think of the way that ended up falling out with Barcelona. I think that one's going to, this is pure speculation on my part, yeah, by the way, you know, but I think that is something that they'll try and put right next year.
The thing is with them, you can't say, oh, they've got Rafinha, Dembele, Depay still there, there's no room for him. That doesn't come into the equation for Barcelona. There's no room for Bernardo Silva, but hey, that doesn't stop them. So there's no logic to a lot of this window anymore. And so you're quite right, Scott. I think that could easily come. I think you could see all three of them, Neymar, but all three of them in the next 12 months will be linked to Barcelona.
Classic Barcelona with Lewandowski through the middle until the wheels fall off there. But he's doing quite well, isn't he? Anything you want to touch on there, Toby, or should we move on to the flavour of the weekend, Man United?
I just agree. I think Barcelona are just going to go back to that Messi ship in 12 months' time. I can fully see that happening. And poor Rafinha, doesn't matter if he's 26, 27 years old and entering his prime, he will be benched along with half of Barcelona's other summer signings this year. Andreas Christensen and Frank Kessié are the two I'm thinking of. The free transfers who are barely going to play, and then Barca will sell them to get a load of profit in 12, 18 months.
Rafinha, will he make that Brazilian World Cup squad, though? That's going to be the interesting one, especially with his rival making the move to United.
Lovely lead in, Graham, because I did want to talk about Antony. Now, we reported why Antony was pushing so hard for this move. He ended up at Man United, confirmed. God, was that last week it was confirmed? It seems like ages ago, but it was. 100 million euros, 95 plus 5, I believe. Made his debut against Arsenal. Lovely flicks and tricks, but there is also a little bit of metal to him as well. And a goal on his debut. Toby, what did you make of him? Because it wasn't the best debut in the world.
No.
But he made an impact.
Yeah, he did the one thing that a lot of United debutants have actually done in recent years. Scored on his debut, and I think he just made a positive impression overall.
You buy yourself 6 months when you do that. When you got a forward scores on his debut, yeah. It's the best thing in the world, isn't it? It really is the best thing. When a forward scores, he's got free license to do what he wants for 6 months now, really.
I was going to say, he's earned a lot of goodwill from that debut, and it will reflect positively on Erik ten Hag as well, because people will remember that debut for a couple of months to come. So even if Antony needs a little bit of a settling in period, he's done himself the world of good with that performance. And I just think for United, they're going to look so much more balanced having a left footer on the right wing. Just adds a different dynamic to the attack that they've not had, and it could help Marcus Rashford and Jadon Sancho and those playing around him to actually benefit, because they might be a little bit more defined in their roles and responsibilities and what they're actually trying to do. And that's the thing about a new signing. It's not just about them, it's about how they make the players around them better. And I think Antony will do that.
I think there's an argument to be had. I know he's adjusting to a new league and a new opposition, new teammates, but he was thrown straight away. And I understand why, because Casemiro can't get in yet, but he doesn't know the process and the methods. And Erik ten Hag obviously has worked with Antony for a couple of years. And I said this on Twitter, and I said it on a few podcasts as well. The fact that he knew to hold his position, I've seen other Man United right wingers in that position, or maybe not in that perfect position, have chances like that and not take them. The fact that he was able to open his body up and put it in the opposite corner. Think of Antony Elanga in that situation.
Does he speak Dutch, Scott? Does Antony speak Dutch? Is that so? Can Ten Hag communicate directly with him? Do we know that?
I
was wondering whether I bet Casemiro is helping out massively in that regard, yeah, in the changing room. Obviously De Gea as well.
However they communicate, it has been working. I feel like Antony, though not completely sharp, he did say in his post-match he was lacking a bit of power because he'd taken a lot of days off training during the transfer process. But
those days off, he might not have got
going on strike and all this kind of business. But
that's one we need to talk about as well. That he's obviously Edson Alvarez followed him soon after. You know, a lot of these going on strike things, I think we're going to see a lot more of that coming up, because it worked with Antony. What was a week left of the window? So it set a dangerous precedent, that.
Yeah, it really has. Poor Ajax. Raking in all that money. Too much money. Don't know what to do with it. Poor Ajax. But I was very pleased with Antony, even though he... I really quite like the... He did 5 celebrations. He was jeered by the Arsenal fans, because I was sat in the press box quite close to the Arsenal fans. He was jeered by them in the build-up to that game, in the build-up to that goal. Passed the ball backwards, went back to De Gea, and then they built back up and he ended up scoring. He's got that bit of attitude about him, Graham.
I do. I think a lot of this game raised a lot of question marks about Arsenal. I really do. But was Granit Xhaka on the pitch at that point, Scott?
I believe so, yeah.
What's the point in playing Granit Xhaka if he's not going to kick Antony at that point? What's he doing on the pitch? Granit Xhaka can't do many things. One thing he can do well is kick people. And you know, after he did them step overs, he should, his number one thing should have been to make sure that he wasn't going to do that again. So I was disappointed in Granit Xhaka not taking him out after that.
For me, it was a little bit of a throwback between... I knew Harry would pop up in the comments. Harry's sitting behind sitting behind this, throwing you know, messages into the group chat about Xhaka versus McTominay. He's not McTominay. You might have seen Harry's actually gone quite viral on TikTok saying Scott McTominay gets away with murder along those lines. Go and check that out if you don't follow Harry on TikTok. If you use TikTok, that is. But yes, let's. Anthony, I was quite happy with Marcus Rashford. I was going to make another point. Sorry, it was a bit of a throwback between Man United Arsenal games of the past. After that Arsenal success, you know, they used to play the football the ideal way, had all the ball, looked quite dangerous, but in the end got sucker punched by a team who were willing to just kick them and run through them and exploit them on the break. Was this as one-sided as it's been made out, Toby? In Arsenal's way?
No, I don't think so. I think United had a game plan and they knew what they wanted to allow Arsenal to do. And I think Arsenal got their tactics wrong a little bit. I think, Graham, we've already spoken about this, about how they tried to use Gabriel Jesus on that afternoon and he was coming short. And that was exactly what Lisandro Martinez would have wanted. It played into his hands perfectly. But United, they're starting to show a bit of an identity. And Christian Eriksen, who I said many transfer podcasts ago would be a good smart signing for United because he adds a little bit of creativity to the midfield and he can play the passes that others can't. That first goal, his ball to Bruno Fernandes, looked simple, but it bypassed, 20, 25 yards, cut Arsenal to ribbons, and it led to the opening goal. And I think it's doing United a bit of a disservice, to be honest, to say that Arsenal should have got a result or they deserve to get a result. I think United had an element of control in that performance throughout. And they're not the finished article yet, but there are promising signs for United to build on. And Anthony will add balance, as I've already said. And that's the one thing that United needed in their forward line, was a bit of balance.
Speaking of not finished articles, I'll go back to Marcus Rashford. 25 now, I believe. United tried to play with him with his back to goal and he wasn't really succeeding at that. Did play a part in the first goal for Anthony, getting the assist, but then did get the opportunities in behind. Graham, Steve, this is a Steve McLaren thing. Is this right? Playing Marcus Rashford through the middle?
Yeah, well, we said back in May, we did a piece on it, Scott, about how much of a fan he is. You know, if you look back to comments by McLaren before he'd been joined United, he was critical of Rashford as well as being a huge fan. You know, that's not opposite positions. You know, you could sense that he knew what a player there was inside. And I think that's one of the reasons he agreed to go to United. He was loving to get his hands on some of this talent. And Rashford was one of them where, Steve McLaren, from what I'm told, firmly believes he can play up front. And I get what you're saying about back to it. But I see Rashford, you know, in terms of what we've seen from Haaland, where if you've got someone as quick as him, just an old-fashioned play off the shoulder, put it through to him. You've got Eriksen, Fernandes, who can play them passes. Casemiro, even. So, you know, just put Rashford on the slowest defender and run at them. Put the ball over the top, fierce pace. And he's quite good in the air. I think there's so much to work with. You know, I'm going to come back to all these Gunnar Solskjaer. Rashford's career has stagnated for 2 years, which was United's fault because they appointed an inept coach who wasn't good enough to improve Marcus Rashford. Hopefully that coach is there now. It looks as if I have that backroom staff to do it. And, you know, I think you could see a massive upturn in Rashford's form. His confidence is clearly there. And as we were talking before the show, guys, Marcus Rashford has played himself at a World Cup contention, which 6 weeks ago, if we'd said that on the show.
Even 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, you know. So, and he's got everything, you know. I don't buy this stuff of playing with back to goal. He can score. He's got thunderous pace. And he needs to work on his heading, but he's got everything there. He's never going to be a Haaland, but hey, there's a top class striker in there, I believe, and I've always thought that about Rashford. And I would just let them three go now if I was United and Ten Hag. You know, you got Ronaldo as backup, but Sancho, Rashford, Anthony, just play them all season. Let them get to know each other. The understanding them three could get, as we've always said about Anthony, the ceiling. But with those three, Scott, I think the ceiling for those three is could be amazing.
I actually think that they're missing Anthony Martial. Sorry, Graham. I think they're missing that option.
A flouncing Frenchman.
He's a better player with his back to goal, and he can run in behind as well. We'll see. I think he would have started on Sunday. He would have if he was fit, but he's obviously not.
He's just not as good. Martial is just he just isn't that player. I think you want someone. He clearly doesn't want to be at the club. He said that last year. He went to Seville and failed miserably. Massive reason behind Seville.
Do you not think that context has changed though?
Unless he played Rashford in against Liverpool. Unless he's first choice, Martial, I don't think he wants to stay.
I think he is, personally. We'll see. Anyway.
I think both Rashford and Martial are going to benefit from Ten Hag's style of football, the identity. Mm-hmm. And the forward passing lanes, that vertical Eriksen, Fernandes, releasing them in behind is something that United have been afraid to do under previous managers. Mm-hmm. Just adds a different dynamic to the attack.
I wouldn't mind seeing Martial further out. I think he's got a little bit more to offer from out wide. I think he's arguably a cleverer footballer than Rashford. So he can actually play football from out wide and do a bit more. And I could see him do that, because obviously Sancho and Anthony aren't going to play every game. Mm. I'd like to see Martial out wide more than Rashford.
Options, at least. We've done longer on Man United than I was anticipating. But on England, just one more thing before we move on to the final section. England don't actually have, unless I can't think of this, maybe it's not coming to me now, they don't have a player like Rashford, really, who offers that searing pace, who can play on the shoulder.
You argue not, but he does play Sterling in that role a lot. But then it gives you Sterling an option out wide. So I would think he's the only one searing players who plays in the number nine role. Whether he's suited to that or not. Yeah, but I say his nearest rivals at the moment, for if we are thinking centre forwards, Abraham Wilson, obviously Ivan Toney very much on the scene. But yeah, none of them have that pace like Rashford's got, certainly.
Let's final section of the show. Unfortunately, no irons in the fire today, Toby.
Not needed.
Irons in the fire. We'll talk instead about a club who have signed 21 players, Nottingham Forest. I looked at the result the other day from 2-0 against Bournemouth to losing, and I thought, uh-oh, that's damaging. That's potentially quite a tough one to take. 21 player. Is 21 a record in the Premier League?
It must be.
It's worth looking into.
I guess it depends if you include youth players. Stuff, but that's first team players. It should be emphasize that first team players. And I know the Costa Rican guy, he was loaned back, but I think they could argue that he's not a first teamer, but still 20 at the very least.
Graham, what the hell are they going to do with all these players?
Yeah, so we saw Josh Bowler, very good player from Blackpool, who I must admit, I was surprised that they still went for him. Not that he's not good enough, just to cut the amount of players that got in those positions. And they moved him on to Olympiacos, a sister club. Of Forest, similar to Watford, Udinese, etc., Brighton and Union in Belgium. But they're not, as Toby, you said to me, they're not being as clandestine with these things. It's not in secret. It's very much put out there. The Korean striker who went there as well, so they've sent two there. And my understanding is, yeah, they are looking at the possibility of sending a few more players out there. And that's possible because the Greek window...
15th? Shuts
it. Yes, it's got another few days to go. So I think this week in Turkey. So Turkey and Greece, two main ones. I think Russia as well, but not many people going there at the moment. This week will be crucial for some of these Forest players, because some of them could be heading to Athens for the season. Which, you know, I wonder whether they ask for volunteers, because it's you can either spend the next 12 months on the bench next to the Trent, so you could spend it in Athens. So I imagine a few of these guys might volunteer for it, but we'll see. I expect at least another couple possibly to go on loan to Olympiacos in the next week or so.
I'm just looking at their squad as we talk. So they've got 29 players who are in their first team squad. I don't think any of them qualify for being 21 or under, so they'd need to be registered.
They haven't got many young players, like, and there's not many homegrown. There's only probably Yates homegrown, is there?
Yates, Omar Richards probably qualifies because of his time at Reading. They have got O'Brien, Toffolo, Lingard, Gibbs-White. So there is a good English nucleus there, but they're not going to be able to register them all. 25 players out of that 29, four are going to have to go. And the only one who stands out as obviously not being in their first team plans is Lyle Taylor. The rest are either players who are still playing who came up, or they're the new signings.
Yeah, huge surprise. Lyle Taylor didn't get his move to the Championship. I know a few clubs were in for him. But yeah, he could be a candidate to go out somewhere. I'd imagine, as you say, Toby, then maybe another two or three might be ideal to go out to Olympiacos. And we'll see. You know, they've got, what, three left-backs, three right-backs. They've got a staggering amount of cover now. We'll see. And hopefully, I think the amount of strikers they've got in now. They didn't get Michy Batshuayi, who, for the love of me, I can't. You've got Dennis Awunmi, who did strikers. But although I think Scott, I think he's, from what I've seen from him last season, he's just not a centre forward. He's absolutely wasted.
He's wasted
in that role. He is not. I saw him on the opening day at Newcastle, and he didn't do anything. But I thought, whenever I've seen him play well, has always been on the right hand side, Scott. I've never seen him play through the middle. And I'm thinking, you've just paid Awunmi 17 million for him, something like that. Why are you playing Brennan Johnson through the middle? It made little sense to me.
Yeah, I can't, I'm not sure entirely where he's going to
end would
up
think with Nico, playing for Wales. Nico Williams and Johnson, I think, would be a, the understanding they've already got, you would think would be a brilliant right hand side.
Yeah. We'll see how it plays out. We'll see who does leave Nottingham Forest because, as I mentioned, I double-checked this, but it is the 15th of September that the Greek transfer window closes. So we'll see how it plays out. There's still plenty.
No, guys, the Premier League in England should extend their own window to the end of October. They've already got every advantage in the world. Why should we close the same time rest of Europe? Just to extend the end of October. Just, and then there's
less the managers would love that.
But then there's less arguments about people having... Because I saw some people mourning that United and Chelsea are throwing so much money at the end of the window, but it's the whole of the Premier League doing it. So the Premier League isn't disadvantaged. It's not United getting advantage because they signed Anthony, because then you've got Southampton doing all their signs. You've got Forest doing all those. I like the Premier League domination. I think it should continue and we should gain extra advantage by extending our window.
Extend the gap even further until later in the Champions League season, where Man City inevitably get knocked out by Real Madrid, Liverpool falter to another team.
You have to
Chelsea,
be here to win it, Scott.
Yes, that's true. We'll be back next season somehow. Europa League, fingers crossed. We'll see. But
how's our United bet doing, Scott? How's our United bet? I haven't looked at the table.
Actually, I haven't checked. Am I winning that?
I think Scott is winning now. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Newcastle letting me down now. Yeah. Oh, we won't come back to that for a while.
No. Let me just double check.
It's not close.
Five points ahead of Newcastle, 4 points ahead of Leeds.
West Ham 18.
That's a remarkable turnaround. Right? You're five, when you think about it. Last time we brought this up, Newcastle were ahead of you.
Yeah.
And it's been a remarkable turnaround, to be fair, to Erik ten Hag.
We'll leave on that note, I think. Graham's just been nice to Erik ten Hag. So we'll depart there.
I like ten Hag. If I said, didn't I? And you agree with Scott. I've always said, if you back ten Hag, you have to get his players in. And they have done that with Anthony and Martinez, who still is the most overrated player in European football. But hey.
There's Andrew Martinez.
Yeah.
Overrated.
He's proving a lot of people wrong.
He's
not a long way to go.
He is not at 60 million.
Five foot nine is short. I'm 5'10".
He's not a £60 million defender. I think he'll be a good Premier League defender, Scott, but he's not a £60 million defender.
Morgan Gibbs-White is not a £45 million player either.
He is more so than Martinez is a £60 million defender. Morgan Gibbs-White a player for England.
If teams keep playing
is
short,
Andrew Martinez plays for Argentina.
What, next to Otamendi? Next
to Romero.
If he could get an Otamendi, I was thinking, if he could become an Otamendi, I don't think that would be a bad result though, Scott, would it? If he could become like an Otamendi? Similar size?
I'm not going to answer that. I didn't rate Otamendi. Anyway, I've got a wrap up. We've been going longer than I anticipated. Thanks both Graham at Graham Bailey, Toby at Toby _Cudworth, Scott at _ScottSaunders on Twitter. Give us all a follow. Get in touch with us. Let us know about your opinions on anything we talked about today. Who's better, Gavi or Pedri? Is Reece James the best right back in the world, as Graham said? Can Marcus Rashford play through the middle? Is Anthony worth the money? Is Lisandro Martinez
the most overrated defender or most overrated player in the world. All I've heard is negativity around Martinez, so I'm not sure how he's overrated. Anyway, yes, please subscribe on all your major podcast platforms, and we'll be back next week. Might be taking a few different paths. We might get some extra guests on in the next few weeks, talk about future transfers, talk about things that haven't happened yet, things that might happen, and we'll also throw in a bit of football chat about what's happening at the weekend as well. Thanks very much for listening, everyone. This has been Talking Transfers. Until next time.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.